Welcome to another episode of Watch Listing, a podcast to save you from your streaming overlords. I am your host, Matt. With me, as always, is my good friend, companion in life, Michael.
Maybe a couple of those. Yes. Hello.
Yeah, we'll let the listener be the decider in what's what. But, Michael, we have so much to cover this week. We're going to be talking a lot of news. We've got 7 trailers to talk about this week. And we are going to, once again, be kind of messing with the format here. And we're going to be talking about some existing movies on some of the streaming platforms, the ones that we've been watching or checking out or highly recommend lately. And then we'll wrap up with what we've been into, and we will get you the heck out of here so that you can go back and sit on your couch and waste more time watching stuff on TV.
Sounds like a plan.
It's the goal in life, is get you back into your couch as quickly as possible. So without further ado, Michael, you like Game of Thrones?
I do. My wife and I watch it. It's under Breaking Bad, but it's still good.
I can agree with that. I totally agree with that. Well, you know, you're about to get more because the Game of Thrones proper is going to be ending next year with the final season, the 7th season, I believe. But Game of Thrones, a prequel, has been greenlit, and it's supposed to be taking place 10,000 years before Game of Thrones proper.
I'm thinking we're going to see some dragons.
A lot more dragons. But yeah. It's kind of weird because we already kind of get the old-timey, like, you know, knights and maidens and stuff. So, like, normally if it's, like, a TV show that does a throwback to, like, an earlier time, it's like, oh, look at it. It's such a period piece. But it's like, how are they going to differentiate this from anything else that goes on in Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, because most things, like, oh, now they're by candlelight, not electricity. This is just going to be the same. If anything, we're going to be like, well, shoot, why aren't they developing their societies more?
Well, that's the one thing that stuck out to me from this whole thing is, so in 10,000 years, they haven't, like, really done much of anything. I mean, maybe there's less magic, there's less dragons, and there's just as much swordplay and incest. So, this society has not developed at all.
No, but I'm still getting pretty excited about this because whenever a really good show ends, you're just like, oh, I wish there'd be more. And so this might be the Better Call Saul to Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it's as well made. But yeah, this will be a good way to get these diehard fans off their Game of Thrones next summer. They are not going to physically harm themselves because they'll have something to look forward to.
Well, yeah, more Game of Thrones is not bad. And I think throwing it 10,000 years into the past, you're not going to encounter any characters that are in the show now. So there you go.
No.
I'm okay with that. But are you okay with Jamie Foxx in general?
I was reading the news yesterday, and apparently he hit someone in the face with his penis. So,
oh wow,
I don't know what to think.
That wasn't in our news segment, but well,
I don't know what to think about Oscar winning and Grammy winning Jamie Foxx.
I want to know the situation, and I mean, there seems to be a very specific situation where you'd have to be in where you could slap somebody in the face with that part of your body.
Well, genetically, I couldn't even do it, so I guess I have a little respect for him.
Well, you don't know that he didn't just push it into the face. Anyways, we're going down a rabbit hole here. Jamie Foxx, Ian, oh my gosh, I'm so used to talking to my brother in front of this microphone. Michael, did you ever see the original, like, 93, maybe 95 Spawn? John Leguizamo.
No idea what that is.
The movie Spawn. So Spawn's a comic book character, and he is. Oh man, I'm like so bad with Spawn, but he's basically he was an assassin or a hitman essentially, and he dies. He's betrayed by the people he's with. I'm reiterating the movie. This may not be the comic book accurate origin story, but essentially he's double crossed and he dies. He gets sent to hell. He sells his whole soul. He sells his whole, to pay the troll toll. He sells his soul to go back to Earth. Essentially, I think to get revenge, and he becomes the Hellspawn, which is basically like a Venom slash Batman slash whatever Todd McFarlane felt like copying back then. And so the original movie starred Michael Douglas, John Leguizamo, Michael Jai White, and now it's going to be Jamie Foxx is going to be in the role of Michael Jai White, which is basically the main character. He's Hellspawn. Since you haven't seen this movie, does the premise that I kind of half explained to you sound interesting to you for a movie?
I'm looking forward to it. I actually didn't know what Spawn was, but after hearing you so delicately and carefully and so welly put the
so welly
backstory, welly, more wellier than me. No, I don't know.
You could say you're not interested.
It might be good.
You could say you're not interested. There's, nobody's holding.
I'm not that interested.
Nobody's going to hold a gun to your head.
I'm more interested in this than the next piece of news.
This one's big in that DC continues to seem to just be on a... they just want to blow up the world. They just want to see the world burn. And they are now, in addition to a Jared Leto Joker movie, the Joker leading Suicide Squad 2, they are also now fully moving forward with a Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie directed or produced or both by Martin Scorsese.
What?
Wow. Michael, we used to do a podcast together, Armchair Cinema and TV Talk. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You didn't see Suicide Squad, or did you ever see that movie? I think we talked about
it. I did.
Did we talk about it? I know.
Yes, I saw it with you. You and Adam.
Adam saw
actually,
it
you
twice.
Know what? I don't know if that's correct.
No.
So what happened was Adam saw it. I don't remember if it was with you or not.
He did with
but
me.
Then I needed to go see it, and I went with a group, and he felt forced to see it, so he saw it twice.
Terrible movie. Joker, terrible. Yeah. And
very bad.
Why they're doubling down on this thing. It's kind of like when... you know, when somebody makes a bad decision and like you're kind of the friend who's like, hey, man, you know, what are you thinking? You know, you pull like who is John and Kate plus eight? You pull John aside and you say, dude, why are you wearing Ed Hardy? You're too old for that. You don't look good in that. Just knock it off. Get your life together. And they go, no, this is fine. Like, this is totally normal. And this is great, and it's totally fine. That's what I feel like DC is doing, because I feel like there's been enough friends, like good solid friends, who have probably pulled them aside and said, hey, you know, you really tried with this Jared Leto thing, but it's just not working. And they're like, no. You know what? In fact, here's $25 million. Go make another movie. That's how much we believe in it.
I am curious to see about this Joaquin Phoenix, Martin Scorsese thing. I mean... I have to see that regardless, right?
I mean, I'll probably watch that. I'm not going to see a Jared Leto Joker movie. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I've talked about the outsider. Jared Leto seems like a person who's trying to pretend to be human, or a thing pretending to be human. Michael Kathleen Kennedy, the head of Lucasfilm, she's going to be stepping down, apparently. It's rumored. Now, Kathleen Kennedy has been around for years and years and years and years and years, but she's also been kind of the figurehead overseeing the recent renaissance of Star Wars movies. How do you feel about that? Do you think that she's, you know, you think she's, this is going to be a step back for Lucasfilm or, you know, Disney in their Star Wars films?
I mean, whenever you lose someone with that kind of influence and that caliber of role, You gotta at least be somewhat worried, I would think. Luckily, Disney seems to be a really good hand to, you know, hand off the baton to. So we'll see. I guess that's going to be decided over the next 3 years, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't think she's expected to step down immediately, but she is. She has been instrumental. I know that she, J.J. Abrams, has cited she was the reason why she was able to convince him to come on and do the Force Awakens. And I mean, she's been around for she's been around forever. She was working. She worked on the Raiders of the Lost Ark in 81. I mean, she's been around forever.
Wow.
No, she's
she must be ancient.
Well, she was like an assistant back then. So I mean, but she was an assistant, or she was an it says she was an associate to Spielberg on Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then now she's like kind of steering the ship on the new Indiana Jones movie. So like you go from helping somebody to like being kind of the gatekeeper for them. It's kind of weird, but
oh, and she's only 64. I thought she'd be older than that.
No, and she doesn't even look like she's 64. Good for her.
Oh, 65. I lied.
Well,
that changes everything.
Even better. That's like my prime. Dang. That's like prime Michael age.
Oh yeah. Why not?
So there's a new film by Bad Robot, speaking of J.J. Abrams, it's called Eporia, and it is rumored to be a Cloverfield movie. So that in and of itself is not that big of news, but, I thought it'd be a good chance to talk just for a brief second about some of the Cloverfield movies that we've gotten recently. Now I'm sure you've seen Cloverfield, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Did you see Cloverfield Lane, 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Yeah. Oh, that was my favorite one.
That was, yeah. It's a lot of people's because it's probably the only one that was comprehensible. And did you ever see Cloverfield Paradox?
No, that was the Netflix release, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I have yet to see that, but I intend to.
Yeah, I keep meaning to. I just never have. But are you like big in on the Cloverfield universe? Are you like interested at all that it's like this weird kind of semi-connected universe?
I would say I'm interested. It's like they're tiptoeing around this universe that they're trying to create. So I'm hoping they start. Well, I don't know. The one on Netflix maybe explains more. So I don't want to sit here and sound really naive. But yeah, I'm interested in seeing what kind of universe that we're living in here, because it seems kind of post-apocalyptic. But yeah, that's always kind of intrigued me.
Yeah. I haven't seen Paradox yet. I love 10 Cloverfield Lane, but that was mostly because of the acting. That wasn't really the story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've hit one out of three. One for three. So maybe, I don't know. It just seems like J.J. Abrams, whenever these like movies come along where he can't figure it out, he just goes, I'll make it a Cloverfield movie. It's fine.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Here's to maybe it'll be a good movie.
Let's hope so.
But the passing of the torch, a huge, unfortunately very marred legend, is going to be leaving Disney at the end of 2018. It's rumored. John Lasseter. Now, you know, you may or may not recognize the name, but John Lasseter is instrumental in the early days of Pixar. Hell, still till now, he's instrumental in Pixar. For the Toy Stories, pretty much every single film he had his hand in. Now, he didn't direct them all. He's directed Toy Story 1, 2, and 3, and he was supposed to direct Toy Story 4. But now, unfortunately, as with it seems to be every single male person on the planet who was given an okay to just get away with anything in Hollywood, he has been accused of sexual allegation or sexual harassment, and you know, obviously you can't have a sexual harasser on the payroll at Disney, not a known one or even an accused one.
Sure.
So Michael, I mean, how familiar are you with John Lasseter's work?
Oh, I mean, growing up, I was 9 when A Bug's Life came out, and I just loved that movie. Loved Toy Story, obviously. I haven't seen much of Cars, but I know he at least wrote the screenplay, the storyline and the characters for it. So as much as I don't know him, per se, I do like his work. And that's really too bad that he's a pervert.
Unfortunately, got a little too touchy. It seems to be...
Don't we all?
Well, my lawyer will inform you of that, Michael.
That's right.
So, Michael, that ends the news here. So we've got another segment here, and that's called the Trailer Park. So let's go to the Trailer Park. So we've got, let's start off, Lego Movie 2.
Yeah, you know, I watched this trailer and I don't know how everyone liked or disliked the first one, but I liked the Lego movie and it seems like they are going in the right direction for Movie 2. And who doesn't like Chris Pratt? It looks like they're actually going to make a hero out of him and it looks interesting.
Yeah, they seem to be just fully embracing the fact that there's like what feels like 100 years of Lego. And there's been so many different sets and licensed properties that they're just like, let's just make a whole story that's like Mad Max, you know, and good for them. Like this, but this looks so good. The animation is really tight. The weakest part of the first Lego movie was the live action stuff, which I think was totally unnecessary. And well, not totally unnecessary because they did need to tie in like the Crackle and all those like various like real world objects that they were using. But this looks really good. And I love the voice cast on here. Elizabeth Banks is like probably one of my favorite comedic female actresses on the planet. Female actresses is redundant, but Chris Pratt is great. And I think he just like fully embodies, I don't even remember what his name is in the movie.
I don't remember his name either.
No, if I don't have a clue, you don't have a clue. That's just the way it works, but it looks great. So did you see the first one in theaters?
I think I did, actually, yeah.
All right, well, we've got a little bit of time. I think it's late 2018 or early 2019, something in there. But we've got a Bumblebee trailer. Michael, just when you thought they couldn't do any more with the Transformers franchise, you were just betting me. You just bet me $500 that they couldn't do any more with the Transformers franchise, and here they are. So I'll be expecting my check in the mail. But Bumblebee... movie 70.
I don't even want to talk about this one. It looks so bad.
You really think it looks bad?
I think it looks terrible.
I think his transforming animation looks terrible, but the premise looks kind of cool. But then you get into any, so this is how the Transformers movie works. You get into any level of thought beyond, oh, that looks great. And then it's like, oh, this doesn't work. Because now they have to explain away how Bumblebee has been on the planet for like 30 years. And where what, like, the Transformers have been in significant parts of history this entire time. This just doesn't make any sense. And I'm pretty sure at the beginning of Transformers, he crashes to the planet. Ah, no. This movie's going to be garbage. Yeah.
No, thanks.
But hey, more money for Michael Bay.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to see that guy finally getting some, making some cheddar. So this is probably the scariest one for you, Michael.
Yes.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Did you?
And the trailer makes it look pretty well made. They do have the throwback bathroom scene.
Yep.
They probably show a little too much in that scene, but it looks... let me just say this. I'm never going to see it, but the trailer makes it look interesting.
I love the fact that they are completely discrediting every single movie except the first one. There's even a throwaway line in there where they're like, wasn't that her brother? Which is, you know, I don't know how much you know the Halloween franchise, but it later, like in later subsequent series, it's like, oh, it's her estranged brother and he's trying to kill her to finish unfinished work. And they're like, isn't that her brother? They're like, no, that was a rumor, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just hope there's a scene with, forgive me, I don't remember who the two actors are that are in the prison or where they go into the yard. But they're like, Michael, we found this. Because nothing better to go to a psycho, like psychotic killer, and being like, here's the thing that you used when you murdered all those people back like 50 years ago. Let me show it to you right now, because the guards definitely let me through the security gates with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to see it. That's... Yeah.
No.
I need to get a friend who's okay with watching horror movies.
Yeah. That's not going to be me.
Yeah, I know. You live here to disappoint me. Wreck-It Ralph 2 got a trailer. Did you see Wreck-It Ralph?
No, I really wanted to, but for some reason I never saw it.
I never wanted to, not because it looks bad, just didn't care. And now I have kids and now I do want to see it, but this looks funny, but this looks very much like an Emoji Movie where they're kind of like, oh, hey, here's this service that, you know, here's Facebook and Google and blah, 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 blah. I thought we were out of the stage where everybody didn't know what the internet was or like how to personify the internet. But my favorite joke, what's the Wi-Fi? And
see, I didn't even get that.
The Wi-Fi. He just doesn't know how to pronounce the Wi-Fi.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
So from now on, I'm just going to be like, what's your Wi-Fi password for the rest of my life?
Oh, my gosh.
So that's the only thing I took away from that. But hey, you know what? Disney's making good animated movies again. Go check out Wreck-It Ralph. In theaters this summer. Disney, we're waiting for the check.
There we go.
This is the one that I know that you liked. You had to have liked this. Sister Brothers.
Yeah, so I watched it and I was like, oh, this looks terrible. No, I watched it and I thought, I'm going to see this in theaters.
I knew it.
It looks really intriguing. I just really like Joaquin Phoenix. And this is definitely a must watch in the theaters.
You know what? I've actually, you know, for anybody who doesn't know, me and Michael, we've been friends since high school. And this is now our second podcast we've done together. But there's always been what I've referred to as a Michael movie. And for reference, Lady Bird is a Michael movie. And even though I love this movie, Garden State is a Michael movie. There's just movies that are just so like have emo or like whiny or depressed like females and a man who pines after them, and you know, or it's either whiny emo girls with like weird indie guys, or it's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. Then those are usually classified as Michael movies, but I'm more now coming around to your type of movie, kind of slowly.
Oh, good.
Because I love the trailer for this movie. This looks so funny and weird and offbeat. I'm still trying to wrap my head around. It's John C. Reilly, right? It's been a couple days since I've seen this, but this isn't like a straight comedy, right?
I sure hope not. It's considered a Western.
Yeah. But it's like, it's weird. It's just not like, I can't even like put my finger on why it's weird. And do you know who's directing this? I'm sure I can.
I didn't recognize his name.
I will find it in about 10 seconds here. Sister, sister is the first thing that comes back. Sister, is it sister? Oh, the sister's brothers. Sorry. And that's Jacques Edouard.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what he's known for here. A prophet? Dupin? A self-hero? Okay, so this is not... he's not well known over here in the America. In the America, as we like to say. But this is, yeah, this is a weird movie, but I'm in. Jake Gyllenhaal's in it too. I forgot about that. Rutger Hauer. Yeah. Holy crap. I'm excited for this movie. Oh, Creed Bratton is in it too. Good for him. Anyways, do you have anything else about Sisters Brothers?
No, I was just surprised and excited.
Well, did you see the trailer for Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, and I'm not a Spider-Man fan or anything to do with Spider-Man, so the animation looks good, but other than that, I'll let you go after it.
Yeah, so this looks interesting. Like Michael mentioned, the animation is very unique, but I'm not sure I'm really, like, sold on it. I don't like Jake Johnson, like, at all. I think he's tends to be a miserable human being that I would like to see in less things. But he's in this movie. He's Spider-Man. Great. Not really excited for that. Hailee Steinfeld is Gwen Stacy, or Gwenpool, which they show in this movie. Mahershala Ali is in this, so that's great. He's playing Aaron Davis, the same character that Childish Gambino, Donald Glover plays. And sorry, thought it was a stupid joke that Donald Glover made, and I will tell it later. And Shameik Moore is playing Miles Morales. So, I mean, it seems like it's gonna be a good movie. I just don't like animated movies. For me, are very hard to get into, and I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I'll watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know more about the plot here because this is kind of weird, but. I really don't like Jake Johnson as Spider-Man. He's kind of the worst. He's kind of ruining it for me.
Oh, yeah.
But...
I don't like him.
I suspect you're not going to be seeing this one in the theater.
No.
Blasphemous. How about How to Train Your Dragon 3? Did you watch any of those, Michael?
I haven't. They look really good. This one looks similarly good. But I'm just 3 movies behind now.
I would tell you, they're definitely worth your time. Like, they are, you could see them sans kids, and it would be fine. Like, I watched the first 2 before I had kids, or maybe the first 1 at least. But they're good movies. Like, DreamWorks doesn't normally pump out good animated movies. They're more like, oh, Bug's Life is coming out? Let's make Ants. Or... let's do Ringo, but How to Train Your Dragon has always been a bright spot. And this one doesn't seem to be any different in terms of just the quality of the animation and the characters and the story. It seems like it was, I don't know how much you remember the trailer. The one of the first scenes you see is I always mess up his first name, Barchel.
Oh yeah.
Is him, like, his character is Hiccup, and he has like a beard and he seems older, and then it cuts back to him before he had a beard. So I'm like, okay, well, that must be the end of the movie. So they kind of ruin that, but I'm looking forward to this. Does this prompt you to go see the other ones, Michael?
I don't know if I'm prompted as much as it's on my to watch list. So
okay. Move it up.
Maybe I am prompted.
Move it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do it. Do it. Okay. Well, that does it for the trailers this week. So continuing an attempt to confuse, frustrate, and usurp our audience expectations, we're now trying a different format for the midweek or mid-month. Whereas at the beginning of the month, we'll be talking new releases, and we'll be doing, try to follow the similar format we did last episode, with just going over the highlights rather than giving you beat by beat everything that comes through. Now we're thinking towards the second episode of the month, we'll try to highlight something that's been on the services that you know and love. So I've only got two, Michael, for each service. I've got a TV show and a movie. You may have more, so if you've got more, do you want to go first? And then we can run through. So you name your service.
I can. Do you want me to just walk through my four?
You do one, I'll do one, and we'll just go back and forth. So okay. You list a service, I'll jump on mine if I have one.
All right, Netflix. I wrote down The Last Jedi. It's amazing. It's already out on Netflix, but if you haven't seen it in theaters, that's crazy. But it's on Netflix now, so definitely worth checking out. It's not as good as The Force Awakens, in my opinion, but I mean, if you see one Star Wars, you got to keep seeing the rest of them. That's the brilliant thing about Star Wars. And now you have your opportunity.
You didn't like it as much as The Force Awakens. Did you, was it kind of the, what they did with the story? I mean, I know that this movie's been really divisive. I walked out of it really not liking it, like really having a disdain for this movie. And I've seen it. I mean, I bought it when it came out, and I've watched it probably five times since it's come out, and I really think that this is one of my I think I probably prefer this over The Force Awakens. Now, has your view changed at all? Because I think you were not very you weren't very high on it when you came out of it either, right?
No, and it's you know, you go in there and you're pretty aware that they're gonna write Luke off. And you want them to do it in a really good way.
Yeah.
And then Carrie Fisher died before it was even released. So you just had, I mean, it's not necessarily their fault. I just went in with really, really high expectations. And they didn't get crushed, but they just weren't met.
Now, do you like some of the changes that they did? I know you're not like a super deep cut Star Wars nerd, but, you know, things like killing Luke off and having... what was the other big thing? Like the Leia force fly thing. I mean, are you coming around to kind of the view, or are you hoping that J.J. Abrams kind of course corrects?
I hope he learns from his mistakes. And I mean, that might just be my subjective opinion, but the whole Leia flying thing was a little out there.
Just a teeny bit, but I liked where this movie, how it picked up almost immediately after the first movie ended. And it gives you it just doesn't really kind of babysit you. It takes you into very brand new directions. Some of them were wasted. Like the Finn was, unfortunately, I think a complete waste in this movie. Whereas he was like so critical in the first movie. And they make Poe very unlikable. So there's like a lot of things I liked. And they introduce like, you know, moving away from just the two factions of like the Jedi, the Sith. And then they go, okay, well, none of those matter. Like, let's just break away from those molds, which is cool. I like that idea. But then they also have stupid moments like the entire Canto Blight, you know, section of the movie, or DJ as a character. I really had a lot of problems with the Finn storyline, because he was such a good character and he was just so wasted, but I have high hopes. And, but I do like, I mean, like things like where they essentially made the whole mystery box of Rey unimportant anymore. Cause they just said, no, you're just a person. You're not important. Kylo Ren even says it to her. He's like, you're not important. You're not supposed to be in the story. He like says that to her, and it's like, oh, well, that's kind of a meta commentary, but I'm looking forward to it. What they do next. And this was a good movie to kind of lead to that. Plus the porgs are good.
Oh yeah.
So Michael, my movie for Netflix is going to be, or my pick for Netflix, the thing that I like absolutely think that you should take the time to watch, is a little 2008 joint directed by Ben Stiller. Ironically, this is what's crazy. I did not know this until I did a little bit of research after I watched this movie. This is written by obviously Ben Stiller, but also Justin Theroux from The Leftovers, from having dated Jennifer Aniston. But it's a little movie called Tropic Thunder. Now, Michael, did you see this movie in theaters?
I did.
This 2008. So you would have been, like 18, 19, right?
Yeah, 19, I believe.
I'd have been cresting. I'd 21, but I don't think I drank when I saw this movie. As would later become a pattern. No, I'm kidding. But so this is the Ben Stiller joint, and it is about five actors, I think. Let me look here. It's got Ben Stiller, Jack Black, Robert Downey Jr. Sorry, I'm just scrolling down here. Okay, so Jack Black, Robert Downey Jr., Ben Stiller, Jay Baruchel, Brandon T. Jackson, and is there somebody else? I feel like there's one more. Those are the five. And then there's like Steve Coogan's in this movie, and Bill Hader and Tom Cruise in one of my favorite Tom Cruise performances. But it's about a bunch of actors making essentially Red Platoon or Thin Red Line or Apocalypse Now. Just like these war, like this, they're trying to make this classic war movie, and it's a bunch of prima donna actors. And they are dropped into what's supposed to be a controlled environment to scare them into acting better. And they end up terrified, and they end up fighting real like guerrilla warfare and inadvertently. And it's a funny movie. This is just before Robert Downey Jr. like popped big time from Iron Man and became really annoying, in my opinion. But this is a funny movie. It's not a movie for the kids, but the perfect setup is the four fake trailers that they have at the beginning of this movie, that perfectly set up the tone for this movie. You just don't see movies like this anymore, where it's just these huge, unless it's like a Marvel movie, but it's like this huge cast of just these bigger than life stars all interacting with each other, and Tom Cruise under a fat suit wearing fake prosthetic hands for this movie. You just don't see that anymore. So, Michael, any thoughts on Tropic Thunder?
I mean, you kind of covered it all. I was just very surprised the first time I saw it with the really funny trailers at the start. And, of course, Tom Cruise just stole the show. Really funny comedy.
I've been a bad, bad boy.
Oh, my gosh.
That Tobey Maguire... the 2002 MTV Award for Best Kiss, Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Anyways, Michael, go ahead. What's the next one you got for us?
All right, on Hulu, I have a 1997 release, 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, so you know it's going to be good, and I believe it's heralded as easily a top 50 movie of all time. And that's Apocalypse Now. It's directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Amazing movie starring mostly Martin Sheen, but it is also about 2 hours into it. You get to meet Marlon Brando and Robert Duvall's in it. But it's an amazing, amazing war movie. So well shot. It's actually pretty disturbing. People herald it as the movie that... best represents what Vietnam was like during the Vietnam War. Mm. But it's just it's a classic film. You can't go wrong with Brando, can't go wrong with Sheen. If you haven't seen it, you definitely have to check it out. It's not for the light of heart, though, so prepare yourself. It's pretty intense.
Okay. That was on Hulu?
Yeah.
I don't really have anything for Hulu. Watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. That's a good show.
There you go.
So moving on to Amazon. Michael, I'm going to say The Americans. Have you seen that?
Not yet. I need to.
Okay. So like 30-second pitch here. I'm going to tie myself here. Set in the 80s, Russian spies are in America, and it is about them during the Cold War trying to get information out as, you know, as spies to Russia as they struggle with the realizing that American life isn't as terrible as they were told in Russia, and it's actually not that bad. They have children, they meet friends. It's a great cast. Kerry Russell, Matthew Reese. It is a fantastic show on Amazon Prime. Well worth the watch. The first 5 seasons are on Amazon Prime right now. 6 seasons, 6th and final season is not on Amazon Prime yet, but it is available for purchase. But the first 5 seasons are on Prime for streaming. Watch it. Change your life. I'm done. Michael, any thoughts or can we move on?
We can move on from that.
Okay. What's next, Michael?
Amazon. I have Lady Bird. It was a 2017 Best Picture nomination featuring Saoirse Ronan. It's a very much a coming-of-age story with some very modern elements to it, dealing with, you know, sexuality and elements like that, but then the more common ones of just, you know, the coming of age as a female wanting to be unique and her own person. But then it also has an element of going to college and realizing who she actually was. And it's the more I think about it, and I need to see it a second time, but I think I was a little too critical of it. I thought it was trying too hard, but maybe I was going in with some, I don't know, false expectations, but it's definitely a coming-of-age movie. So if you're into that kind of stuff, if you like Saoirse Ronan, I don't know anyone who doesn't, possibly check this out and give it a shot. It's on Amazon.
Does she have a good American accent?
She does, actually. I'm pretty impressed by it.
Because I think she's from Ireland.
Yeah, she is.
You know, I don't know. That name sounds a little Hispanic to me, but, you know, I think she's from Ireland. So, yeah, that's... I haven't seen that one yet. I got to check it out. I know I really wanted to see it right around Oscar season, but then I had another kid. So I was just like, I don't care.
Darn it.
So anyways, that does it for me, Michael. So do you have anything for HBO?
Yeah, HBO, 1969. It's a George Roy Hill film. I mentioned it the last time we recorded, but it's Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Paul Newman, Robert Redford, Catherine Ross. Really good. It's a, you know, we just were talking about sisters, brothers. This seems like it might be a similar fit, but, you know, ages ago, more than 40 years ago. But it's a fantastic little buddy Western movie. Can't go wrong with Robert Redford and Paul Newman. I think Robert Redford's still alive, actually. But
he is.
Anyways, not much to say about this. It's a classic. It has an 89% on Rotten Tomato. So anything above a 85 to me is definitely worth watching. And if you like old Westerns that are kind of slapstick, then this one is for you as well. But that's all I have.
Okay. Well, that does it for the list. We're going to try and be just a teensy bit more organized next week. Mostly this is my fault. I've been very disorganized with some transitions in my career. So I hope to do better for you next week or next episode, which will be in like 2 weeks. But despite that, we're probably going to start moving towards... new releases, the first episode of the month, and then highlighting existing movies on the services so that you really get the full, these are good things that are coming that you should check out, and these are things that have been there the whole time you should check those out too. Because the goal, again, as I've stated many times, is to help you not spend the entire night scrolling on Netflix or whatever service, which I have done many, many, many times, and I'm sure Michael has as well.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, let's move into our second to final segment, which is what have we been into?
What
were
into?
That clip that I just played is a little throwback to our armchair cinema and TV days. So enjoy that. I might keep that going because that was just a beautiful symphony of three voices. Credit mm-hmm. to Adam Kenny, who's also in there as well. So Michael, what have you been into?
You know, the past couple of weeks, I've really gotten into Survivor again. I've binged two solid seasons and probably two and a half, if I'm being honest with myself. But I used to love that show, and I watched the most recent season. Then I went all the way back to the start and watched the first season, and it's really come a long way.
Like you watched the very first season?
Yeah, which I watched back in 2000 when I was 11, but I wanted to rewatch it and watch Richard Hatch win, and it was really crazy to watch. It was like a cultural shift where one of the characters was talking about Richard being a queer and stuff, and I mean, people would get up in arms if that was happening now, but yeah, I've been watching Survivor. It's a great show, and that's what I've been into.
How far,
what
about you, Matt? How far we've come in 17 years.
Yeah,
that's a I never got into that show when I was a kid. I know it was so crazy popular, but I just never got into it. So I've been watching TV shows. Got into, as Michael will probably be happy to hear, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I got my wife into it because I was trying to deter her from watching Friends for like the third time. Because she was seriously going to go back and rewatch Friends a third time in the past year. Like, that's her go-to. Wow. And I'm trying to get her to branch out. Like, I really try to branch her out. And so I said, hey, let's just at least watch an episode of this. And I really didn't care to watch it, but it's very funny. More so than anything, it makes me fond for 30 Rock, both written by Tina Fey. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a funny show. And who's the guy, her roommate?
The black guy?
Yeah, what's her roommate's name? I forget his name.
Oh, I don't, but he's hilarious.
Oh, we just watched an episode where John Hamm was revealed to be the pastor.
Oh, my
goodness. And he's repeatedly like, oh, I want to watch you on the news. Oh, no, I mean, I'm trying to be supportive. But what channel are you going to be on? He's just great. And
John Hamm's probably the best role character I've ever seen.
Is he in it past the first season?
I'm not sure. I'm just talking in general.
Oh, yeah. No, he's fun.
Just has some of the best, cameo characters.
Yeah, yeah. No, like Black Mirror and then this. Yeah. And he's funny. He's just like, he's the best. And then I've been into Atlanta. I'm only like two or three episodes in, I think. I don't know. It's been a while. It's been a couple days since I watched it. But that, I was never too hesitant about it. I just couldn't get around to it. But I finally, again, it was another, seriously, my wife, don't rewatch Friends again. Let's watch something different. And she fell asleep, you know, but it was late in her defense. But Atlanta's great. Atlanta's really good. Like, really, really mm-hmm. good. Like, I can't believe it took me so long to get into it. But the only show I'll highlight, and I'll be really fast here, is Wormwood on Netflix. It's a documentary about a U.S. scientist who worked for the CIA. And he was part of, I believe it's called MK Ultra, but it was where they tested LSD on people unknowingly.
Yeah.
And it's a combination of a documentary and a reenactments. So Peter Skarsgård does the reenactments, which is crazy because Peter Skarsgård's a great actor. But yeah, he portrays the father, and the documentary follows the son as he kind of went through the process as they found out that his dad was subjected to LSD, and that's part of the reason why his father committed suicide back in the 50s. And it's just this crazy, crazy story. about what happened to people, unfortunately, unwittingly, back in that time. And it's really good. So Wormwood on Netflix. Check that out. It's 5 episodes, I believe. So with that said, Michael, where can people find you online?
You can find me at MPOSEY on Instagram, and that's about it. How about you, Matt?
People can follow me on Twitter at Armchair Matt. They can follow me on Reddit at Matt in His Armchair. Otherwise, if you, you know, I love talking movies with Michael. That's one of my favorite things to do. It's probably one of the our greatest pastimes. But if you want to hear me talk about even more nerdy stuff, which is comic books, I have a show that I release every single week called Earth 919 with my brother Ian, where we review 3 number one comic books every single week, or talk about the latest comic book movie that has come out. But that show is also in iTunes, Spotify, you know, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. So check that out too. And with that said, thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed this continual process of us changing the format of the show, but we promise at some point we'll have it nailed down until we don't. So with that said, thanks for listening, and until next week, goodbye.
Toodles.